Productions. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 72 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Midwest Geobash 2008. If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners. That can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click on the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We also have a voicemail line, and that line is 206-350-3GPS. And yes, we are on Twitter too, twitter.com/GCPodcast. Now, I see everyone who, there's a handful of people here who are live in our chat room with us, and they caught the fact that we started at 9:30 tonight. We now have a new starting time for this show. It is no longer at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It's 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the reason for that is, I'll touch a little bit of that right now. The reason for that is I got a new job, and it's going to be, I finally got a job, and it's finally in IT, and we are going to be starting after my training. I will be working noon to 8:30, so that gives me time to get me home and get the show ready a little bit. So 9:30 will be our new starting time. So besides getting a new job, a lot of fun stuff has been happening on my end anyways. Got to go on vacation. We went to Branson and down to Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas. That was a lot of fun. We hit a few caches on the way. We picked up a few geocaches, of course. While we were in Branson, we went to an outdoor store, and I got to get my hands on the Oregon. I actually physically had my hands on it, but there wasn't. I didn't get to go caching or anything with it because it was just in the store and it was kind of tethered to the thing. I thought about trying to clip it and run, but I probably wouldn't have come home and probably would have been arrested. So it is. What else is going on with me? Well, it's great to be back doing this show, and I know it's Montu and Daryl, you know, think the same thing. It was kind of nice to have a little bit of a break, but at the same time, it's really great to be back doing this podcast and. I'm just glad. Montu, what's up with you since about a month and a half since we last talked?
Well, first off, it is definitely great to be back doing the show. My wife commented earlier in the chat, I haven't known what to do with my Tuesday nights lately. We've been pretty crazy around here, of course. I'm sure anybody who watches the weather has seen that Florida's been dodging a few bullets lately with the tropical storms and hurricanes. Came close with Gustav, but luckily he turned. Now we're still watching Hannah, and now we got Ike and Josephine also out there in the Atlantic. But at least Gustav's out of the way. Caching wise, though, I can finally break this stinking broken record. I found one. We got lucky. We had three caches that got posted in the area that weren't out on hiking trails. Pretty much all park and grabs. We found one of them, which was GC1F2RX, Red End Cat. Won't say too much, but it's right next door to a Caterpillar dealer. The other two caches, I had to DNF them. We couldn't find either one of them, but on one of them, I've kind of changed that DNF to a MIA. Turns out the owner had to go out a couple days later, and sure enough, the cache is gone. So he's already replaced it, so now I got to go back out and go hunting for that one again. How about you, Daryl?
Well, I've been working 60 to 80 hour weeks, I think, all summer. So yeah, the break was nice for me as well. But did we add the new Oregon 300 to our GPS arsenal? And it's been working very well. Definitely an improvement over the Colorado 400T that we have, which I still have to get that back to Garmin, and hopefully a replacement will fix their issues there. But I actually got out doing some photography last weekend and the weekend before. Really nice, because it's just nice to get out and shoot for a change. It's kind of my escape from life for a bit. And unfortunately, after I got out for my short photo expedition on Saturday, I ended up catching a cold and then ended up giving it to Dree on Sunday. So both of us have been in. No, it's not good. It's
not
good. Yeah, two sick people in the house and we haven't been out shopping. It was unpleasant. But we were homesick again today. Sick all weekend. Not a nice weekend for us. But, you know, the break gave us a nice chance to get caught up on some stuff, which we didn't really do too much. Burning the candles at both ends. So, yeah, you know, we got a little sick. But it looks like, unfortunately, because of the illness, I'm going to have to release Gashamaniacs episode 92 next week, not this weekend. So for those of you looking for it, it probably isn't going to hit until second week of September. But you know what? We did get a few voicemails during that time off, so let's go to those.
X-Punk X, this is Geek Boy from Illinois and Quick Trick. We just thought we'd give you a call from George and Letty, a nice letterbox hybrid geocache here in Lake County, Illinois, while we have just completed our 900th find. We thought you'd enjoy hearing from us and letting you know how we've been doing so far. Beautiful sunset here at the cache as we're in this forest preserve and getting ready to head out before the preserve closes.
And the bugs eat us up.
And as Quick Trick says, and the bugs eat us up. The bugs are a little thick here near this pond in the preserve, but this is a beautiful area to be in, and it's a great find for number 900 for us. Have a good evening.
Hey guys, this is Dan from Dan and Steph, and I just want to let you guys know that I've really been missing the show. I'm looking forward to once we get the schedule worked out and can get back into it. Anyways, I'm out on a geocaching run this evening. Figured I've got a little extra time, and I'm working away from home, so I've got nothing else to do in the evenings. So I picked a couple geocaches and headed out and realized that the one I'm going after now, I logged a DNF on 4 years ago when I was in this area. So I'm going for GCDF68, the Big Easy. And hopefully this time I'll be able to cross it off my list instead of not logging another DNF. All right, talk to you guys later. Maybe I'll call back when I find it or if I don't find it. All right, thanks. This is Dan from Dan and Steph. Talk to you later. Hey, guys. This is Dan from Dan and Steph calling back real quick to report in on my redemption. I did manage to find the cache this time. I can't believe I didn't find it 4 years ago. But it's good to know I got that monkey off my back. And now I'm on to hit a couple more, hopefully, this evening. All right. Hope to hear from you guys soon in the podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, this is Geo Addict. I just finished listening to episodes 69 and 70 of the podcast. I have a couple of comments. On the ethics of cache repair, I find that if the log is lost, I'll replace it with a new log. However, I don't put the wet log back into the cache. That would just be returning moisture back into the cache container. What I do is I take the logbook home and I will separate the pages out and let them dry. I email the cache owner and tell them that I've dried out the old wet logbook and I can send the pages to them, or I can scan the pages and send it to them in an email. I've done this twice, and both times the cache owner has been appreciative of the maintenance and has declined to have the old logbook sent to them. On the geocaching gem show, I have a couple of things that weren't mentioned on the show that might be useful for geocachers. I use a GSAC macro to export the caches to Google Earth, and I use Google Earth to help me identify the best route to take to the cache, as well as to see any landmarks from the air that don't show up on my GPS receiver's map. During hunting season, I always keep a blaze orange mesh vest in my bag for obvious reasons. In the summer, I've just purchased last year, and it works real well, a mosquito net that goes over my head. I found that no matter how much bug spray you have on, if you have enough of the mosquitoes in the area, they'll find you. And so this head net keeps the irritation down to a minimum so that I can concentrate on finding the cache. Also, recently I've started to carry a portable weather alert radio on my belt in the event that severe weather is possible, especially if I'm going into the woods. Hopefully, if there's a severe weather warning, that will give me enough time to get out of the woods and to safety. So that's all I have. I enjoy your show. Keep on caching. Thanks.
Well, thank you, everybody, for calling in to our voicemail line. Again, that number is 206-350-3GPS. We love to hear from you, and we love to hear your caching adventures and other tips and tricks that you have for us. So go ahead and call us, 206-350-3GPS. We want to talk a little bit here before we get into Midwest Geobash. Let's talk a little bit about what GeoAddict said there with the export to GSAC. I've never personally used that macro, but I think that's a good idea, because I would say, you know, especially with, if I've used Google Earth before, and you definitely can see things where they're at, and you can see, you know, where, you know, landmarks and other things like that. I think it's a good idea. Daryl, Montu, what do you think?
Well,
you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Montu. Okay, I was going to say, I'm not a GSAC user myself. I'm using Mac caching, but even that's gone by the wayside a bit with the Oregon and the Colorado just taking the GPX files right off of the pocket queries that Groundspeak sends me. So, unfortunately, I'm not doing a whole lot of that anymore, but when I was using Mac caching, the Google Maps are kind of built right in, so I didn't even have to do the export. I just popped that up. But on occasion, I'd actually take the GPX files and load those into Google Earth and do it direct that way. So I'm just kind of skipping the GSAC portion of that in favor of going direct. And for me, that's been working really well. But again, that's, you know, a workflow thing, that if your workflow involves GSAC, that's going to be a great tool. And I always recommend checking out caches on Google Earth or Google Maps. How about you, Montu?
Well, I haven't really used much of that myself. You know, I'm basically just loading an area and go. But it definitely sounds like something I might want to get into more. Definitely probably help out a little bit more with getting to some of the caches.
I know for me, a lot of times what I do, too, if I'm only going to hit one or two caches in the day, maybe, you know, especially if it's going for an FTF, what I'll do is I'll go to the actual website of the, you know, the cache, and I will just use the Google Maps link, and then I'll make sure to say the satellite view, and you can get you get the same picture that you do in Google Earth. So for me, if I'm only hit one, or like if it's a first to find, I've done that before when I tried a first to find and I did not have my GPS with me. I printed out the pictures from the Google Maps link, and I found the cache, and I was pretty happy about that. But yeah, we'll have to definitely check that out. GeoAddict, if you're around, go ahead and send us a link to that macro. We'll go ahead and post that so people can give that a check out. I don't currently have a link for that macro, but once we get it, we'll go ahead and post it in our show notes. So yeah, definitely good voicemails, guys. Keep them coming. We love to hear from you guys. Topic tonight is Midwest Geobash, and what I this is my first chance to see Geobash. I didn't get to go last year. I really wanted to go. If you guys know, I really wanted to go last year, but my cousin got married, so I couldn't go. I thought this year that I maybe was not going to get to go because we had a friend who was getting married in Texas, but we decided to go a day later so we could go on Saturday to the Geobash. But we did have Geek Boy from Illinois did get to go this year. I got to go. I know Candy from our podcast got to go. So, Candy, if you want to call in too tonight, give us a little bit of feedback on what you thought, or anyone else who has gone who was on the show tonight, give us a call, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Well, I'll start out here tonight, basically, and Daryl, you can kick in, too, since you've been there before. Montu, if you want to kick in with some questions or whatever, go ahead and feel free. This is my first year attending, and we only went Saturday. It was August 7th through 10th, which is, I believe, a Thursday through Sunday. And we only went Saturday because we didn't camp. We don't live too far from there. We live about an hour, so we decided to drive in Saturday morning. My first impression was a little bit scattered just because I didn't really know what I was doing when we got there, but I really did enjoy it. I got to meet Geek Boy and Click Chick, and I got to hook up and see Candy again. Actually, it was kind of a funny story, too, because we were standing in line registering, and we saw, and Candy was like, are you just going to ignore me? I didn't even realize it was Candy and her daughter, and I turned and said, oh, hey. So from there, we just kind of walked around. We went to there was a trading booth. Not trading booth, but like a swag area where you could buy different things and coins and different stuff like that. We went to that area. We bought a couple coins. And then we actually headed out to go do some caching. They had some caches they placed for Midwest Geobash on the Kendallville campground or fairgrounds. And then there was also a bunch of them in the area that were new and some that were old. We decided to go out with the family and hit some caches. So we did that. Well, we did that afterwards, I guess. We went to lunch. We happened to run into Jerbear from the Ontario Geocaching Podcast. We went to lunch with him, and we took Daryl's suggestion. Daryl had Twittered everybody that if you're going to be in the area, go ahead and go to this place called Julie's Pizza. And
Julie's is incredible. I got to let everyone know. And the guy loves to talk.
Seriously, when we got there, we sat down and but it was just cool to go with Jerbear too, because I had never met him before. And he's a really neat guy. But yeah, we got to the pizza place and the guy was telling us all about his relatives that were there on the Titanic and how he sent pizzas overseas to the Marines. And what a pain in the butt that was to get overseas. But seriously, his pizza was good, but his stories were almost just as good as the pizza was. And Geek Boy said you went to Julie's on Saturday?
Yeah, we made it in on for dinner on Saturday instead of for lunch. So we kind of missed you in passing, so to speak.
Yeah. And funny thing, too, since my wife is named Julie, she asked him where the name Julie comes from. And it's actually his ex-wife's name, but it's still his pizzeria, even though it's his ex-wife. So thought that was kind of an interesting story, too. After lunch, we went caching. We hit some caches in the area. It was just our family. We went and did some caching. And then we actually ran into a guy that we know from our area, so we did one or two caches with him. But that was my first impression. I'll let either Candy or Geek Boy speak a little bit more about their experiences.
Well, actually, it was rather entertaining for Click Trick and I while we were there. We kind of had a similar experience this year as we did last year, and we seemed to, when we were out caching, run into more people from our home area than we did people from other areas. This year, we ran into people from Wisconsin about 15 miles north of us and people who were living about 8 or 10 miles away from us to the south while we're at Geobash caching, and we only really ran into one local while we were out there.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to obviously go to GeoWoodstock, but from my experiences, from what Daryl had said and from my experiences being there, I thought that it was, it did feel a little bit disorganized. Daryl, how would you say that GeoWoodstock was more organized?
More organized. Well, I've heard from the people who went, unfortunately I didn't get to go this year, but from the people who've gone, they said that this year it was much better organized. Last year it was kind of a free-for-all with a couple of events scheduled. They changed schedules a couple of times just before the event, so it wasn't the easiest thing to figure out what was going on when. The big thing that I understand changed this year was actually the vendor area. Last year, there were, you know, it's kind of hard to say. Geek Boy, maybe you can help me out here on how many vendors were there last year. I want to say it was probably less than half a dozen.
Yeah, there weren't that many vendors that were actually there last year. There were probably actually a few more than half a dozen, but there were so many that were smaller ones right side by side that it looked like they were just a larger vendor taking up two tables together. Most of them actually appeared to be coin vendors last year, and there didn't appear to be near as many people selling coins this year as there were with the other items that were available.
Yeah, and this year, from what I understand, it was a suggested donation or something like that, so it was a much bigger turnout for the vendors in general, and it was much more of a meeting atmosphere in the vendor area. And that was one of our big complaints last year, is that we just didn't have a good location to sit down and do things like trading and just meet people. There was a little bit of the coin trading going on just in the I forget what it was called, but the log cabin, that's where they hold the registration and everything. So this year, with a couple more of those organized events, it was a lot easier to meet people, is what I've heard.
Yeah, well, regretfully, this year we had a new puppy with us. He was only about 12 weeks old when we went, so we had him with us, and we didn't go in most of the buildings or to most of the events this year, so we missed out on a lot of that. But we did manage to make it by some of the seminars. Actually, ClickTrick sat in the seminars while I watched our puppy. And we got to meet up with some of the people from the Gonel area who were out at a camp area not far from the presentation booth.
Yeah, I found it was, like, we didn't go to any of the presentations just because we had the kids with us. I really wanted to go to the reviewer panel one, and I really wanted to go to the puzzle one since I love doing puzzles. But I didn't get a chance to do that. I did download the document from the puzzle one that they had online, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to do that, so I don't know how. I can't say how those went. I'm assuming from everyone that went to them, they said that they were really good. I did get a chance to go to the vending place. I liked that. That was pretty cool. I liked to see all the different cash containers that they had there. One of the things I was disappointed in is the Wi-Fi that was there, and I was told that last year it was really bad, and this year it was really bad too. I was trying to get on with my iPod Touch so I could Twitter Geek Boy so we could try to hook up and meet, and that really was really a failure. I didn't really like the way the Wi-Fi was working. It didn't work really, but we did get the chance to meet up, and I guess Geek Boy, I'll let you say a little bit about our experience when we met up and what we tried to do and if we were successful.
Well, I'm kind of ashamed to talk about that as being a Geek Boy, but having a technology meltdown when we were trying to do the Where I Go cartridge they had set up there. I'm almost ashamed to talk about that one. I had the Colorado 300 there set up with the Where I Go cartridge that was actually set up on the event grounds, and I had also brought in the PDA, the Windows mobile device, with a GPS attached to it so we could try and do both versions of the Where I Go, and we actually failed at the first point on both of them. The Colorado was just having enough problem with getting a good location lock that I couldn't zero out to pick up the travel bug at the first point that needed to be picked up, and the Windows Mobile PDA just couldn't seem to sync in anywhere either. So I ended up striking out on both pieces of technology doing the Where I Go, and so I regretfully still have not completed a Where I Go cartridge.
I have to say, though, it was definitely fun to try it and to just even watch you guys try to zero it in and, like, watch ClickTrick say, oh, I'm over here, and you'd say, well, I'm over here, and I'm still not getting anything, but I'm closer than you are, and try to get anywhere and go under the building, and that still didn't work. And it was definitely quite an interesting and fun from our side just to get and watch you try to find that first part of the where I go cash. But yes, it was disappointing too, because I was so looking forward to being able to claim a where I go cash, and we didn't get to do that either.
Well, actually, if you get a chance to go caching with us, it looks very similar when we're caching as what you saw when we were trying to do the where I go.
That'd be fun. Hopefully we are in your area sometime. We can do that.
Well, we'll also be traveling back to your general area, so we might be able to meet up over that way.
Sure. Give us a call. You know how to get a hold of us.
Sure do.
Yeah. One of the things I did like doing too is I got to meet a few people. Obviously, I met Geek Boy. I'd never met him before. I mean, I've talked to him a gazillion times on this podcast. Know his voice by heart, but never got the chance to meet him until we got there on the Kendallville grounds. And that was an awesome experience. Hooking back up with Candy, hanging out with her for a little bit was really cool. Meeting Jerbear. We also met Team Legend 4, who are caching partners with Daryl W4. That was really cool too, and that happened just by chance. I was walking past them and happened to look at their name tag and said, "Hey, you're Team Legend 4. I'm X-Punk X." And we've emailed a couple of times, so they knew who I was. And so that was cool. Here goes my X-Punk X-ness again, where I get so distracted. Daryl in the chat room had said, "Hey, what about doing a geocaching podcast meetup sometime in the Chicagoland area?" I think that'd be an awesome idea. We'll have to put that together. We will get that together, I promise you, sometime. Anyways, back to sorry everybody. That's my
This is why I put it in there rather than piping up on the show so that it doesn't infect the show.
It does, though, because you and Geek Boy know how bad I am to stay focused. But anyways, that's part of the random funness of the show. But it was really fun to get to meet all of the people that I had either only heard of online or talked to. What really bummed me out was getting home and reading the logs and say, "Oh, so-and-so was there. GeoAddict was there, and other people were there that I did not get a chance to hang out with and get a chance to meet," and that bummed me out. So that bummed me out. One of the things that I did enjoy is there was the one cache that was on the grounds that was really cool. I won't give too much away with it because it's a cool cache idea, but let's just say you had to have more than one person to get the cache. You could see it very fine, but you had to use more than one person and some water to actually get the cache out of its hiding spot. So it was very, very cool. So that one, it was cool to see cache ideas and do that. I really would have liked to go camping there. I'm a huge camping fan. Didn't get a chance to do that because we were leaving out of town Sunday morning. So anyways, Geek Boy, any other thoughts about this year's GeoBash?
Not really any other thoughts other than the question of, have you had a chance to place that cache container I gave you while we were at the bash?
I have not. I've been thinking about many of places to do it, and I just can't find a place yet. I'm going to before this summer is done, though, I promise.
I'm wondering how the locals in your area are going to think of that one.
I don't know. They're not. I don't know. I'm sure that they'll like it. But I won't give too much away on that one. I'll post in the show notes when I actually get it out, and y'all can take a look at the cache page. But one of the things that I did think was cool is this year our name tags were not the same as last year. Last year they were the metal name tags. I know because I have one, even though I didn't get to attend because I had registered. But our name tags were just the plastic type of name tags. But the cool thing is they all had a pass tag on them, a GeoBash pass tag, and I really thought that was cool. I actually put my pass tag on my keychain, on my keys, because I thought it was really that cool. And my wife really got into collecting the pins. We all got a set of pins. There were 6 pins, and you buy a bag of them, and you get 6 random pins, and you have to, or is it, you get 5 random pins. Was it 5, Geek Boy?
Sorry, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember if it was four or five in the bag.
I think it was five in the bag, because then you had to grab the review or the volunteer one too.
Yes, there were five in there. I keep forgetting the one I was not treating as a part of the set. They had one for each of the previous year's birds, plus then the new year, which was the fifth one that was in there.
Yes, and then you had sorry, we won't argue about this, but either way,
yeah.
There was a certain amount of pins that you had from each of the previous year's birds, and you had to, if you bought the bag of pins, then you sometimes got random pins, you have sometimes got double ones, but then you had to try to collect all of the pins, which I've heard that you had to do in the past, and then they also had a volunteer pin that all the volunteers had that you could trade for something, and it was cool. My wife really got into trading those and getting all six of them. So we ended up finishing, and we got all six of them, and that's her, like, prize thing now. It's hanging from our dashboard. But that was cool. I really enjoyed that. I liked the games. We didn't really get a chance. They had quite a few games that they had out where you could collect different clues around the campgrounds. We didn't get a chance to do that, but it looked really cool, and it looked a lot of fun. I did like the fact that there was a lot of stuff to do for the kids, a lot of stuff to do for the adults. It was an overall, my thought on it was a really cool event. I'm excited to go next year, and hopefully we actually get to go to the other event is, the other mega event, the Geo Woodstock. Yeah, I couldn't remember that. But yeah, hopefully we get to do that too.
Well, and for those guys who are thinking about doing Geo Woodstock, that's down near Nashville, better known as Cacheville. So you probably want to leave a couple of extra days just to go caching the city, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it seems like a good one. We may have to get to that one too. Now, Montu, I noticed you have a final thought before we end here tonight.
Yeah, I hear congratulations are in order for a doubting Thomas. As I recall, during the winter when I was getting all my caching in, I kept telling you you'd catch up during the summer on me, and you kept saying no, you wouldn't. I see you're at 251 now. Congratulations,
yeah.
My friend.
Thanks. Yeah, we hit it. It was on our trip. We to Texas. We, like I said, we did do some caching, and we did get the 251, and I'm super excited. I did one of the things that and this is just a side note before we close the show, but I did use Bishop's Field Notes generator, and that was really awesome to use on the road trip. I had my laptop set up, and I could just go ahead and, as soon as we found one, put it in there, and then at the end of the day, upload the file to GC, and that was really cool, and that was helpful too, because I was trying to maintain three different profiles, because I had mine and then my two sons, or ours and then my two sons. So that was really helpful. I caught up, and I'm a doubting Thomas, I guess, but you know what? You're going to, soon cold season for you, or summer, whatever, when it cools down, is going to be here for you, and I'm sure you'll take over again. And
hey, we'll just keep flip flopping.
So, anyways, but yeah, we're also planning a cash run here sometime soon. So we might be able to beat you again. So anyways, before we ramble on too long here tonight, we've already been on this show for 34 minutes. So let's go ahead and call it a night tonight for the episode 72 of the Geocaching Podcast. Make sure you join us next Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Remember, it's 9:30, and so change your calendars, change your reminders, tell your friends, tell your enemies that we're changing the time to 9:30, and it's going to be on the TalkShoe service. As always, you can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, or you could just sign on to TalkShoe.com, and our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. And you could also, as Geekboy has reminded us so pleasantly, you can call our voicemail, which is at 206 350 free GPS and call it anytime, day or night. Leave us a voicemail. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. Have a good weekend or a good week, and go get them.